What does it mean to inherit the kingdom? That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're currently taking questions and doing our best to answer them, and those questions come from listeners just like you. If you'd like to send us a message or a question, you can do that by emailing radio@faithalone.org. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning into the show. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
We're taking your questions. Send them to radio@faithalone.org. Here's a question from Full Deck. Didn't really give his name. Let's just call him
Phil. We'll call him Phil.
Phil. He says, is it possible that you could direct me to any source of the Book of Revelation and free grace? There are a number of verses in there that I'm divided on, and I don't know how to deal with in the context of faith alone. And there's another question from Josh, also on Revelation, and maybe we can address both of these things.
Right.
Josh says, I was recently made aware of Revelation 22:19. The New King James says something different from the other versions. Can you help me understand this verse? So two questions on the book of Revelation. Maybe we can go to Josh's question first, Revelation 22:19. What's the issue there?
Okay, the issue in Revelation 22:19 is the underlying text. It's called textual criticism, that is, analyzing manuscripts. And if you're looking at almost any English translation today, other than the King James or the New King James, you're going to see it doesn't read Book of Life, it reads Tree of Life. So Revelation 22:19 should say, if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life, from right. The holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. The tree of life is a reward in the book of Revelation. You see it in Revelation chapter 2, and you see it earlier in Revelation chapter 22, that the fruit of the tree of life is a reward for overcomers. Only the overcomers are going to get it. Not all believers will receive it. However, a small number of manuscripts called the TR, the Textus Receptus, that's Latin for received text, that's what the King James translators used in 1611. They had like seven manuscripts. They happened to be from the majority text family, that is the Byzantine family. But unfortunately, these seven manuscripts, especially in the book of Revelation, diverge greatly from the vast majority of manuscripts. Right. And so here, it's a bad textual reading.
And so the reason why it's a question, I guess, for free grace is because how could your name be taken from the Book of Life? That would imply that you can lose your salvation for a lot of people.
Right. That's not the issue here. The issue here is the right to the Tree of Life is taken away.
So you're saying the Textus Receptus reading is wrong.
Right. And like if you have a majority text, which I have here in front of me, they point out that the TR reads Book of Life and everything else reads Tree of Life.
Right.
And if you had a critical text like United Bible Society or Nestle-Aland, they're not even going to show you, because this is such a minority reading, they're just going to say this is Tree of Life.
Right. The New King James, initially, correct me if I'm wrong, because Art Farstad, who was the editor of the New King James, he was involved in our ministry at the beginning. Was he a board member or was
yes.
he just a mentor?
He was a board member and a mentor.
He initially wanted the New King James to follow the majority text.
Right. But he was given a mandate by Thomas Nelson. What he was to do and his translation team were to do was to follow the text of the King James.
Right.
And update the language so that if the meaning of words had changed over the years, you would fix that. But you wouldn't change Book of Life to Tree of Life, even though Art was convinced that was the correct reading.
So what he did instead was to put those into footnotes.
Right.
Probably your New King James will have a footnote that says it should say Tree of Life.
Most New King James do.
So basically that Book of Life reading is based on a very small number of manuscripts that were used to translate the King James. And so that's why those very small number of manuscripts had a huge impact, because the King James had a huge impact.
But right.
For Full Deck's question then, there are issues in the book of Revelation about free grace. Are there any resources that you'd recommend?
I'd recommend several. First of all, we have a commentary on the New Testament and I'd recommend our commentary on Revelation by Bob Vasendek. Bob's a pastor here in Dallas, sharp guy, and he worked with Zane Hodges when he was working on his commentary on Revelation. Mm. Secondly, Dr. Tony Evans just came out with a commentary on the Bible,
That's
and
right.
his commentary on Revelation would be excellent and coming from a free grace perspective. Also, the commentary by William MacDonald, which was edited and some additions by Art Farstad, is helpful.
And that's called the Believer's Bible Commentary.
So those would be several I would point to. Plus, go to our website. We have thousands of articles. I don't know how many articles we have on the Book of Revelation.
Yeah.
I would assume over 10, maybe over 20 articles on the Book of Revelation. So check those out, too.
Right. All right, here's a question from Laura. And Laura says she's been in many churches, Pentecostal, Missionary Alliance, Brethren, and now Baptist. And she says she's come across free grace and faith alone teaching. And so she has a question about 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11. The one scripture that still stands out for me is 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11, listing a variety of sins and stating that, "Know ye not, those who practice these things shall not inherit the kingdom, and of such of these were some of you." Please help me understand these verses. I have friends and relatives who call themselves Christians. They go to uniquely tailored churches and have no remorse or second thought about, say, their homosexuality. And they're living longish lives to boot. I'm at a loss. Please help me understand.
Okay, I would recommend about a 20-page journal article I wrote on Christians who lose their legacy, and it's on Galatians 5, 19-21, which is parallel to this passage. Laura can find it at our website, faithalone.org. Just type in the passage. She can even just type in this passage, 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11. The issue here, the main issue is Laura's thinking that inheriting the kingdom equals entering the kingdom.
Right. So the issue is eternal rewards. And looking at her background, the teaching of eternal rewards is not very popular in most of those denominations.
No,
so she's probably not familiar with this concept.
Right. First of all, I would say that inheriting the kingdom refers to ruling with Christ in the life to come.
Right.
And by the way, this is a vice list.
Right.
Paul has several vice lists here. 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11, Galatians 5, 19-21, Ephesians 5, 5-7. Notice what's in the vice list.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people talk about mortal and venial sins, right?
Yeah.
Not just Roman Catholics. Lots of people think there are the really big sins. But notice, it says neither fornicators, okay, that would be sexual immorality.
That's sex outside of marriage.
Nor idolaters, okay, there's a big sin. Nor adulterers, okay, there's a big sin. Nor homosexuals, nor sodomites.
Now, that's what people always focus, like Laura's focusing on that.
Right.
She named homosexuals as the one bad thing. But this is a list of a bunch of things.
Right. And nor thieves, nor covetous.
Now, covetous, that's a heart desire for what someone else has.
Right. Now, this one's getting a little meddling, because this is something lots of people have trouble with.
Right.
Nor drunkards. Okay, we can say that's a big sin. Nor revilers.
What
nor
is a reviler?
Well, a reviler is one who reviles.
Yeah, so it's like, who are you reviling? What is
yeah.
it? Is this people who are angry on Facebook and you're just reviling other people?
I think this would be a lot of what we're seeing in America today. It could be reviling against God, but it often could be reviling against our government. It could be reviling against our police. It could be reviling against our education. It could be reviling against our parents.
Right.
It could be reviling against anything. But I might mention, in that passage, you don't see a lot of the lesser sins except maybe covetousness. But look over at the passage in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians 5, 19 to 21, the list contains some sins like covetousness we don't tend to think are so big. Can
right.
you read Galatians 5, 19
to 21? Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, okay, we saw that, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, so that's like dirty jokes and just, you know, mm-hmm. having a lewd mind and lewd language. Idolatry, sorcery, which is more like drug use, right? Pharmakia, right?
Right.
Hatred, contentions. Ooh, hatred. Contentions. How many Christians are fighting with each other
right.
in churches? Jealousies. Oh, my goodness.
Now, jealousy is one
Come
of the
on.
Things that excludes you from inheriting the kingdom.
Outbursts of wrath.
Now, that's another one.
My kids can tell you all about my outbursts of wrath.
Oh, yeah.
Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy.
Envy. Did you see that one?
Yeah. murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom
okay.
of God.
Now, this shows we have a problem, and that is, even if this is about eternal rewards, which I'm convinced it is, the question is, how can anybody inherit the kingdom if things like jealousy and envy and outbursts of anger disqualify you? The answer is that what Paul has to be talking about is a person who is engrossed in this sin.
Right.
Not someone who occasionally is angry or occasionally has an outburst of wrath or occasionally is jealous or envious.
Right.
But this is a person who's walking away from the Lord and not walking in fellowship with Christ. The person's life is characterized by these sorts of things. If that's the case, then the person is not going to inherit the kingdom because they are not a confessing Christian. They are not confessing Christ in word and in deed. The issue here is not occasionally you get envious or jealous or whatever.
Right.
And if Laura was really looking at these different vice lists, she could go, well, how does anybody know they're born again? Well, the truth is, first of all, this isn't about who's born again and who's not. It's about who's inheriting and who's not, mm-hmm. who's going to rule and who's not. And that we can't know for sure because you've got to endure to the end of your life to inherit, 2 Timothy 2:12. But secondly, we can say right now, I am walking in fellowship with God because I am confessing my sins, 1 John 1:9. I am walking in the light, and even though I experience sin in my life, this is not what characterizes my walk. And so this is not at all an issue that she should be concerned about concerning everlasting life. And even concerning eternal rewards, as long as she's walking in fellowship with God, that shouldn't be of concern either.
Well, if you want to learn more about eternal rewards, I'd recommend Bob's book, Road to Reward. And use the code REWARD50, and you can get 50% off at our website, faithalone.org. So that's 50% off if you use the code REWARD50 to get Bob's book, The Road to Reward.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, we've reached the end of another week, and I'm so glad you've joined us. We look forward to being back with you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.